The following is Pastor Don Johnson preaching at Brother Bob Tosh's funeral in 2025. While the audio has been improved, some slight artifacts remain.
Whoever wrote the scriptures wrote for God, and God spoke through the scripture. When you read the scriptures, you're listening to God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God breathed, and you, when you hear and read the Word of God, you would not get any better word if you were in the presence of God and God was speaking Himself.
Hey.
So listen to what God says. I read chapter 4, beginning of verse 16. For those who have the Bible, if you don't have the Bible, take it for granted. I'm not fudging you.
Amen. Preach it.
For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, that's the body that you live in. You are now on death row, every one of you. Your body is dying.
That's right. Yes.
We are soon ourselves to exit this world.
Right.
Perishing, deteriorating. You sit there, you're going down. Yes. Every day finds you. You may not feel it, you, especially you younger people. But us older people, we know it's true.
Amen.
Every day we go down.
Yeah.
We weaken. Our outward man, our body perishes, is decaying. It is corrupt. It's deficient.
Right.
And yet the inward man, that is our soul. This is speaking to Christians. You have no right to these words if you're not a Christian. These are to the saints of the Lord. These are to people that believe. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I'll tell you how he's renewed. That the soul, the spirit of the Christian is renewed to continue believing, continue in faith, continue following the Lord day by day for our light affliction. That's our sufferings in this world. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary.
Amen.
Yes.
They're passing away. Everything you see with your naked eye is brief.
Yes, it is.
It's going to pass away. And it is passing away. The things which you see are temporary, but the things that you cannot see, the things which are not seen, are eternal.
Right.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, this is the body, our tents that we're dwelling in now, aren't outer man that is perishing, this body. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God,
amen,
a house not made with hands,
amen,
eternal in the heavens.
Amen. Yes.
For in this, that is in this tabernacle, in this body, we groan, we moan, we ache, we have pains, we groan and desire. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven.
Right.
If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. That is, our spirit is going to have a new house.
Right.
The soul that leaves the body has got a new dwelling place.
Amen.
It will not be naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of light. Amen. Now he that hath wrought or done or worked for us this same thing, that is, he who has put the hope in us that when we leave here, we're going to be with him.
Amen.
Who has done this for us?
Right.
He who has wrought the selfsame thing, the very same thing for us, is God.
Yes.
God has done this.
Amen.
If God has not saved you, you are not saved.
Amen.
Yeah.
And if God has saved you, you are saved.
Yes. Amen. Yeah.
He that has done this is God, who has also given us unto us the earnest, the down payment,
Amen.
The pledge.
Amen.
The pledge is in us who are Christians. That pledge is the gift of the Spirit.
Amen.
Therefore, we are always confident. That is, we're always confident and of good courage, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident. We are of good courage. We have confidence and we know. I say, and willing. We're not only confident, we're willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore, in verse 9, we labor. That is our goal and our aim.
Right.
We labor, we work, whether present, that is, whether we're at home now in our body or absent. We may be accepted of the Lord. We may be well pleasing to the Lord. Let me pray right now. Let's pray.
Blessings.
Father in heaven, I pray that you'll speak to us today through your word. I pray you'll give us comfort, encouragement. If we belong to you, stir our souls, O Lord.
Yes.
Stir the Spirit of God, the earnest of our salvation that you planted within us. And for those that are not right with God, you know those that are here that are not right, that are unsaved,
right,
that are lost. Darkly. Dear Lord, would you convict them?
Yes.
Would you speak to them?
Amen.
Would you make them aware of what they're missing and what they will miss forever?
Yes.
If they are not repenting of their sins and coming to the Savior. Speak today, our Lord. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Where's all this Christian talk come from? All these testimonies. Where is all this talk about going home to be with the Lord? Where all is well. Is this just a pipe dream? Is this just a myth? Is our hearts deceived about this issue? Is it a big lie? Is there anything to it? This matter of leaving the body and going to be with the Lord. Is there any reality to that? Is there any substance to that?
Yeah.
Is there more? Could we say in the death of a believer, and I'm talking about a true believer, I'm talking about a blood-washed, born-again.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I'm talking about somebody that's been saved by the grace of God and made a new creature in Christ. Is there more when a believer dies than can meet the eye?
Yes.
That is, we do not see everything, do we, when a believer dies? But can we even today see through our tears some reality that is true? Has something happened in death to the outer man when flesh and blood has died? Has something happened more dynamic and drastic? Something more wonderful? Something that we cannot see, that is more of reality than just a cardiac arrest or a pulmonary thrombosis? Can we say there's something that's happened more in a person dying than what we can see with our eyes?
Right.
Yes.
The Bible says there is.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You'll notice all through this passage, the sphere of knowledge. Listen, the confidence that is expressed here in verse 1. We know.
Right, that's right.
If anything can be known, we can know this. We who are Christians, we know. And then in verse 8, he says, we are confident. The word confident, we are assured. We are not only confident in verse 8, we are willing. It's more than just we know. We rather, the emphasis is, we not only know this, we rather experience this. We are willing. And then in verse 6, we are always confident. I'll tell you, there's a knowledge here. There's a sphere of knowledge that is not taught in college classrooms.
Right, that's right.
There is a sphere of knowledge that is taught by the Lord God Himself and has been put in the hearts of His people who believe.
Yes.
And they are sure.
Amen.
And they can say, I know.
Yeah.
Man.
Do you know in whom you have believed?
Hey.
Yeah.
And are you persuaded that He is able to keep that which you committed unto Him against that day? Do you know? Yes. We're going to consider these three things that are found in the text. This is the Bible speaking to us, and it's telling us there's many things here, but three major things I want to briefly touch on. And first is this. There is a sphere of knowledge, reality, that is certainly occurring in death. There's a sphere of knowledge. There's a happening. And some of us know it to be true.
Amen.
Some of us believe it to be true. We're confident that it is so. Now, there's something you can know if you're not a Christian. You should know it, especially you older people. If you're not a Christian, you know that your body is not just quite right. You're broken in some way.
Right.
You've got problems. You've got ailments. You've got afflictions. You may have a disease. Well, your body is dying. The body is corrupt. We know our body, and we know our body has tribulations, afflictions, sufferings. And it is going down to meet its appointment with death. It is appointed and has been once to die, and after this, the judgment.
Right.
We are appointed to die. We're all going down in death. Right. We know this. We know that we died. And it doesn't matter who it is. They can be the most beloved family members.
Right.
The dearest friends. They can be good Christians, or they can be bad sinners. They can be young. I read a testimony or a statement about a young lady passing away, 26 years old, just recently with cancer. People die young, don't they? Why is that? Why do people get sick and die? For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men and they don't have sin.
Yeah.
So we know death is coming. But let me tell you, death has two sides to it. Death will either be your best friend,
right,
or it will be your worst enemy.
Right. Yeah.
No, and let me tell you, I'll be the first to tell you, folks, this matter of preaching everybody into heaven is hogwash.
Right. Amen.
Not everybody's going to heaven, folks.
Right.
I've been at some disgusting funerals where the most wicked scoundrel was preached right into heaven. What a disgrace.
Right.
What a dishonor to God. Let me tell you, death, it'll either take you to glory, to meet with the Lord, or you'll be separated immediately from God in an everlasting place that you wish you had never even been born.
Amen.
This is what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
This is the Word of God. So we know that death will take us all, whoever we are. We know also, of all things, some of us know things that are not visible and absolutely sure. And these are eternal things. And they're as real as this pulpit, or this casket, or this flag. Right. And there's eternal things that are as real as anything we can touch and know that it's literal.
Right.
They're eternal things. There is a God in heaven.
Amen.
There is a Son of God beside him.
There is
a throne in heaven.
Amen.
There are angels in heaven. There is unspeakable glory in heaven.
Amen.
We know there are things that we cannot see.
Yep.
Though they're not visible, they are reality.
Yes.
And that, this is what for the Christian comforts us.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gives us hope.
Amen.
The things that are not seen is like Paul Harvey used to say, this is the rest
Amen.
Of the story.
Amen.
The rest of the story is what is unseen, but it is real. It is the story behind the story. And it's true of every departure. Everyone who dies in the Lord,
yeah.
there's something true in his departure that is very real. And we're confident in this. Look at verse 6 mm-hmm. again.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home, in the body that is living, alive, while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, let me say this. We're confident of this. I don't care how much you enjoy fishing or hunting. I don't care how much you enjoy maybe a good scenic drive. We know and are confident of this, that this present life comes short.
Yes. Now I am.
We're confident of this. There is a fly in pudding.
Amen.
There's something that's not right about this present life. We are confident as long as our soul and spirit is together. That is, as long. What is death? It's the removal of the soul from the body.
Right.
And as long as the soul is in the body, as long as we're alive, as much as we may enjoy living at times, we know this present existence is by far not our best state.
David.
Yes. Not our best condition. For when we are in the body, the scripture says, we are absent from the Lord.
Right.
And then the Lord is up there, and we're still down here.
Right.
And where are we? We're where the aches and the pains and the problems and the tribulation and the afflictions occur. We're in the danger zone, if you please.
Right.
One thing we appreciate, but we pass on out of the life. We're out of the fray. We're at home
yes.
with the Lord. We're out of the danger zone. So it is a fact that if you're a Christian, and this is true of every believer, this present life, as much as we may love life and have good days, this life is difficult.
Yeah.
Could say amen.
Amen.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yes.
It's troublesome. We got problems.
Amen.
There's difficulties. There's sins. There's shortcomings.
Yeah.
We're subject to trials and afflictions. Listen to this. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man is perishing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For our light, verse 17, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment. You read in 1 Corinthians 15 the truth that Paul said about this natural body. That this body that we live in is, there are three things about it. It is corrupt.
Why?
It is mortal. That is, it's temporary. And it's weak.
Yes.
This present body is temporary. In fact, that's what verse 1. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, how easy it would be for you to leave your body.
Right.
Just let your old ticker miss a couple of skips and beats. And then you're gone. It's just body. The truth is, our bodies are weak. Our bodies are corruptible. Our bodies are temporary tents. Job said it like this, or Solomon did, when he said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble.
Amen.
Isn't that so?
Yes.
Just so many troubles, so many problems. But let me tell you, there's a positive note that is undergirding all of this, and this positive note, listen to it. Let me read it in verse 17. For our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, that is, everything that we're experiencing now is just brief. It's just for a moment.
Right.
It's soon to be over. Mm-hmm. It's brief. It's passing quickly for the born-again Christian. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's trying. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, we have our afflictions and our troubles. And even the sting of death is going to sting us one day. But it's all temporary. It's all but for a moment. We're in a moment. Just think, in light of eternity. And I'm not talking about, what if you live to be 70, 80, 90 years old? My dad just turned 97 years old and he's still living. My, I'm amazed. He's going to outlive me. So we can live to be 100. What is 100 years compared to endless, ages, eternity, where you will never die?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What is this life? I think what this life is, it's a vapor. Yes. It appears for a short time and then vanishes away. Our experiences here are short experiences in light of eternity and the coming realities. That's why I urge you, if you're not prepared to meet God,
yes,
think about eternity.
Yes.
Think about dying and forever being separated from, yes, God, where there's no,
yeah,
light, there's no goodness, there's no hope, there's no joy, there's no peace. Think about it, the coming realities that never end. That's what counts.
Yeah, right.
But you think, getting out of the service and getting this off my mind, that's what I want to do. Mm. What are you going to do when it comes full-fledged and there you are?
Why?
Lost. Right. Undone. Without God. We know also that we're groaning. We heard Christians in verse 2, in verse 4, we groan many times under our burdens. Mm-hmm. Under our cares,
right,
our afflictions. What are we wanting? We're wanting something better.
Yes.
We're wanting relief. And relief is on the way. Because soon and very soon, hallelujah, soon we're going to be out of reach,
yes,
of pain.
Yes.
Try it,
man. Suffering, aging, misery. Soon we're going to be rid of all of these problems.
Amen.
Yeah. And then we'll be safe out of the fray with Jesus, seeing him as he is, being with him in our heavenly home. Hear me, O born again Christian. If you know the Lord, you are sure. Mm-hmm. You are ultra confident that your death is not the end.
Yeah, right.
Amen. In fact, not only is it not the end, but it is the beginning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's been since Saturday. He's been really limping.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's where life is, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our Lord said, I am the way and the truth and the life.
Amen.
Life is in Jesus Christ and life. Think about it, being at home in the presence of Christ.
Yeah.
That's life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Being with the angels, holy angels, talking with our guardian angel when we get there, and
right,
him telling us what a rough time he had keeping us. Being with the angels, being with Christ, being, Brother Doug, listening to that. Brother Doug had a dream the other night of hearing this heavenly music. It's his most fantastic thing he had ever had. God gave him a glimpse in his dream about the music going on in heaven. Beautiful. You talk about singing. You think you done good singing today? Folks, let me tell you, when we get to heaven and we, yeah, hear that singing.
Right.
Those angels and glorified saints all singing the praises of God and the joy that is there, hearing that heavenly music and being with Jesus. This is fantastic. It is the most glorious thing we can imagine.
Yes.
We cannot even tell it now. For why? It's too good to put in words, and the Bible is very brief in this explanation.
Amen.
We don't know. Brethren, it doth not yet appear of what we shall be.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so fantastic and wonderful. So much better. I'll tell you, the paradox of living and dying will come true, but we die. In death, we really begin to live.
Man.
For the scripture says, whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it or gain it again.
Right.
So we're going to be with the Lord, and all is well. It couldn't be better. It either couldn't be better or it couldn't be worse.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
You think God is joking when you trample underfoot and reject His Son and harden your heart to the things of God? Do you think He's kidding with you of what He plans on doing?
My.
To those who die in rebellion and rejection of the devil. So, my friend, either it will be well with your soul, or you will be cut off from all light and hope.
Yeah.
We who are born again Christians, we're going to be moving into our bodies, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Yeah.
We're finally going to see what Jesus talked about when He said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
Yeah.
And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And that coming again, yes, it's not only His second advent, His final return, but He comes for every individual believer in death.
Right.
Jesus comes after His own.
Amen.
And gathers them in. So what a wonderful, blessed changes to our person is coming. Groaning's over. Tears are over.
Amen.
Sorrow and sadness is over.
Yes.
And we're finally at rest. At home in the presence of the Lord. Well, Brother Don, how do you know this? You sure cocky up there this afternoon. Is it? It is afternoon. How do you know all this? Bible's pretty sure. If you believe the Bible,
right,
you'll notice the confidence. How do we know this? We are confident.
Right.
We know this knowledge. Well, how do we know? Well, let me give you three ways we do know. God Himself has told us.
Man.
And we believe Him.
Babe.
You know, God, listen to this. Now He, in verse 5, that it wrought for us the very same thing is God.
Amen.
You got it open from the author.
Yeah.
You got it from the Lord. You learn of God, by God. There's no other explanation for knowing this. We were spoken to. If you were a Christian, God spoke to you first. God dealt with you first. God called you and brought you to Himself. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So we were taught of God. You wouldn't believe anything if you weren't taught of God.
Right.
Yeah.
You wouldn't understand anything if God hadn't showed you. But He opened your eyes.
Yes.
He taught you.
Yes.
He saved you. And he has convinced you. Has He not?
Amen.
Listen, I would stake my life on this being true.
Amen.
This is reality. God taught me.
Yes.
And I don't care if everybody in the world denies it. If God said it, it's settled. It's
right.
True.
Right.
He's told us.
Yes.
God has revealed this. God has saved us. God had to show and teach us and reveal this truth. What did you learn from your flesh and blood? You think your old nature taught you these things? No. It was God.
Yes.
All hope of salvation, all knowledge of salvation, all forgiveness of sin, all correction of your ignorance is the work of the living God.
Yeah.
He did it.
Yes.
And if you get saved, it'll be the work of the living God.
Amen.
It is God who saves. It is the Father in heaven. He's also taught us, we know, not just that God has brought this in our hearts, He has given us the down payment, as a Christian, the internal witness. The Spirit of God is a gift to every repentant sinner who turns to the Lord. God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, it's not just, yes, God in verse 5. He wrought that for us. But He has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit.
Right.
It is the Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Isn't it? Yes. You've got to have this internal witness of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we know that without the Holy Spirit, the Bible says it, is your body a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you sense it? Do you know it to be true? The Spirit of God lives in you. He lives in you. Spirit, and that Spirit leads you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, there's none of his. Thirdly, we know this, and these wonderful things to be true, we know it by faith. By the marvelous gift of faith.
Yeah.
Faith. Faith puts substance in things not seen. Mm-hmm. Faith turns invisible realities and makes them substantial as though they were as real as anything we can touch or feel.
Right.
Faith puts substance into the invisible realities of heaven.
Amen.
And Jesus, God, and eternal glory, we know by the gift of faith. You don't know it by sight. We walk by faith. That's what verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. It is not by your natural powers that you understand these things. It's the gift of faith. Faith is the most priceless God gift that you can receive. Saving faith. Let me tell you, God doesn't give it to everybody, but He does give it to many. Saving faith. To believe in God, to being able to see Christ and look upon the eternal unseen things. You know what we do? You know what we can rejoice today for Bob? Because faith causes us to look behind the curtains and see.
Yes,
we see a little bit of what's going on. We understand and we know it's to be true. So faith, do you believe? You enter into the realities of God through believing.
Yes.
You say, I don't want to believe. Okay, you don't have to. See what happens.
Right.
I'd say it's a pretty good deal that you believe.
Right.
That you believe today.
Yes.
That you come to Christ today. You're justified by faith, not by works.
Right.
You're saved by faith.
Right.
And then you live by faith. We walk by faith. Are we doing that today?
Yes.
We're pressing on the upward way, new heights.
Amen.
We're praying every day. How are we doing it? By faith.
Yes.
We believe.
Yes.
We believe. We continue by faith. The Bible tells us in Galatians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves.
Right.
It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Believe. Believe over the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Believe. Finally and thirdly, for the Christian, listen carefully here. For the person that knows the Lord, for the person who's been given a God-given faith, there's one objective in his life now. There's one purpose. There's one goal. There's one desire. We're living for one reason. We're living for Him who loved us and died for us. Listen to this in verse 9. It sums it up in verse 9. Wherefore, that is because we see and know these things to be true. Wherefore, Wherefore we labor.
Right.
That word labor means we make it our goal and we put our energy into that effort.
Amen.
We're obeying the Lord. We're doing His will. We're not just talking about Him. We're listening to what He has to say and doing it.
Amen.
We're obeying Him. That's what it means. Listen to it. Wherefore we labor. We make it our aim, our goal, our desire, that whether present, that is right now at home in, whether living now, this, hey, listen carefully to what this is saying, because this is describing a true Christian.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you have no desire to please the Lord, and you're living a helter-skelter life, and this thing of God and the church going and worship and praise is a secondary thing, and it's on the back burner.
Come on.
Let me tell you, you are in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
Those that know the Lord, those that are saved by His grace, make it their aim, make it their goal, whether present or absent, that they may be accepted use of the Lord that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Your aim, your goal, your driving, consuming interest is to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Isn't that so?
It's it.
Anybody that was laid down his life for me and loved me like he has, shall I be half-hearted and indifferent in living for him? I shall live my life every second that He grants me,
mm-hmm,
with one goal in mind, that is to please Him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to do what He wants me to do.
Yes.
Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
Amen.
How can you call yourself a Christian and you could care less about what His revealed will is in His Word?
Right.
You want to do the will of God. You want to obey the Lord. This is your desire. In fact, listen to this, whether absent or present.
Mm-hmm.
You mean that present means to be at home with the Lord.
Amen.
We make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. Do you know this? The Christian so desires to please the Lord that the first thing he will say to the Lord when he rises in glory is, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Right.
I'll sweep the floors. Well, there ain't no dirt here. I'll counsel those that are sad. Well, there's no sorrow here.
Amen.
Right. Right. Amen.
Well, I'll visit the infirmity. There are no sicknesses, amen, or pains there.
Yeah. Amen.
What am I to do? Lord, what would thou have me to do? Sit down and rest and enjoy glory. Come ye blessed of my Father.
Yeah.
Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. If we are not seeking and laboring to live and please the Lord, could it be that your hope of going to live with Jesus when you die is but a false hope?
Right.
Could it be? If you know and believe in your heart, you do believe, don't you?
Yes.
You do believe. If you do believe, then you know in your heart that these things are true. How can you not want to live?
Right.
A life that is pleasing to the Lord. You should obey Him. How do you please Him? You obey Him. You get this book out and you start reading it and said, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Yeah.
And let me tell you, there's plenty to do.
Right.
While we're at home in this body.
Right.
And I'm sure that when we get to glory, I'm sure that there'll be things to do in glory we don't know now. But we'll be willing to serve in any capacity.
or any place, the Lord, wouldn't you be willing to serve in any capacity or any place that the Lord has for you in his coming kingdom?
Yes.
We'll serve anywhere, Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do anything that's my desire to please you. Is that your desire?
Yes.
Have you believed in him? I encourage you this day. If you haven't believed, time is running out. This thing of the history of the world is about to shut down.
Right.
The Lord Jesus is coming. 7 times in the last chapter of the Bible, he said, I come quickly.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes.
Soon it will be over.
Right.
Are you prepared? Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready to meet God? If you are ready, you want to please him.
Right.
And if you don't want to please him, you're not ready.
Right.
To meet the Lord.
Amen.
I appeal to you and urge you, if you're not a Christian, seek the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not one of these preachers that will guarantee you, if you even seek the Lord, whether you'll find him. But I say this is a good place to start, just saying, Lord, have mercy.
Right.
See, God didn't have to have mercy on me.
Yeah.
But if you will seek the Lord and call on him, and if you desire to part with your sins, say, Lord, I'm through with sin. I'm through with my life of unbelief, and I want to give my life, what I have left, what you give me. I want to give everything I have in my heart and my soul to you. See what happens.
Right.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the realities that we cannot see, that we know are real. We thank you for your work and your love for us, for you first loved us. Lord, there's not a greater desire in our heart than to be with you. There's not a greater desire to be through with the aches, pains, groanings, sins, and temptations of this troubled world. And Lord, until we get into your presence, would you enable us to serve you and please you in everything we think, say, and do. Lord, I pray if anyone here today is not surrendered and yielded to do your will, that this will be the moment.
Yes.
This will be the day. This will be the time that they say, yes, Lord, I come to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.